she's gonna make them stay at home. Daddy doesn't understand it. He always said she was good as gold. And he can see no reasons, cause there are no reasons. What reason do you need to be shown?
Hey everybody, Jonathan Scott with Vegas Nonstop, and it's true, I really don't like Mondays, and welcome to the show here on NBC Sports Radio. Hope you had a great weekend, and hope you had a lot of fun. We're probably going to have to turn that audio off or down, just turn the audio down. Joining us today, sports agent advisor, did I say it right?
You absolutely said that right, Jonathan.
And former NFL cheerleader, Tanya Brennan.
Woohoo! I have my pom-poms in the car.
And sports analyst Amal Shah in the corner, picking it up. And on the phone, I think we've got Jeffrey with a G on the phone. Jeffrey with a G, are you with us? Jeffrey with a G, are you with us?
He is.
Okay. I can't get it unwound.
He's listening live.
Oh, there we go.
Sounds like.
There we go. Well, anyway, Amal, why don't you start us off by talking about what happened over the weekend with the exhibition NFL and... And what happened, you know, how you did?
Well, no, I wasn't really involved in any action or anything. It's just a, preseason. But I thought the big topic, and I'm sure Tanya and I will be getting into this, is the Ezekiel Elliott. And an interesting point was raised to me by somebody. They said, do you think Elliott will have more protests or will it still be Colin Kaepernick? Because, you know, Elliott, we're talking about potential domestic abuse, which everybody, I think, would agree is a negative or a bad or a wrong thing. But how come Kaepernick seems to be getting more disdain than, say, Ezekiel Elliott?
Sure. And I think a lot of this goes to a character issue. I mean, there have been a few situations with Ezekiel Elliott. So when you get a bunch of consultants in a room and they're looking at this case, they're going to be more inclined to say, hey, we've got a character issue here. There's been past instances.
Absolutely. You know, one of the things, though, is interesting is a lot of people protesting in terms of against Kaepernick, not necessarily coming out and protesting, but you see a lot of the comments. If you look in the comments section, like on ESPN.com, you will see the vitriol that people have towards Colin Kaepernick and now like Michael Bennett, who sat for the national anthem in San Diego on Sunday when the Chargers in Los Angeles now. I forgot the Chargers moved.
I did the same thing.
But it's going to be interesting to me to see how people take to this thing, because Elliott is a prominent player, plays for the most prominent team in the National Football League. But the bigger question is it a win-all-cost league, or what is it all about? And Kaepernick, look, you can agree or disagree with him, but at the end of the day, he hasn't harmed anybody physically, hasn't done anything wrong, anything illegal, and he's basically being blackballed. And you have a guy like Elliott, because he was the third leading rusher, rookie rusher of all time, all of a sudden, a lot of people are giving him a pass.
Sure. And let's mention Marshawn Lynch.
Yeah,
also
absolutely. Yes.
With the Star Spangled, with the national anthem. Of course, has he stood for 11 years in the league for this?
I don't even know. That's the funny thing. You know, he's a guy whose personality rubs so many people the wrong way. And I get it. He's not media savvy, not media friendly. But look, if you want to make $11 million a year, you sometimes have to play the game. And that doesn't just mean running between the tackles.
Absolutely.
Well, Ray Rice has come up in the conversation as well, too. And, you know, everything that happened with him. And certainly domestic abuse is... It's a serious topic, and it's something that should be talked about not only in professional sports, but just in life in general. Mm-hmm. Is six games too much? I mean, was he convicted?
No.
Where did it go in the court of law?
No, so it took place in Franklin County in Ohio, which is in Columbus,
Hang
Ohio.
Hang on a second. You need a headphone because Jeffrey's talking.
Sorry.
No,
my
Jeffrey,
bad,
go
Jeffrey,
ahead.
That's my fault. Jeffrey, I agree with you. I think what's going to happen is there's going to be an appeal, and I think it's going to get knocked down to three or four games.
Mm-hmm.
Look, at the end of the day, even though Elliott is being accused of these things and nothing has come to fruition from a legal standpoint, so it's hard to be able to put this kind of pressure and suspend a player in this situation because of this. I think this is more they're trying to get out in front of it because the Ray Rice situation. You have the Joe Mixon situation that was at the University of Oklahoma a couple years ago. He comes into the league into Cincinnati.
Sure.
Yes, absolutely. You're absolutely right. And I think the league is just trying to get out in front of it because they don't want to look bad like the way they did in the Ray Rice situation when they initiated. I think it was a one or two game suspension, and then they suspended him indefinitely. And I think it's a similar situation even with the Josh Brown incident. They didn't do it long enough. So I think the... And not only that, the biggest thing is I don't think too many people are going to complain if a guy is accused of domestic abuse being suspended for 6, 8, 10 games. I've heard people say he should be suspended for a year. He should be suspended even longer. You know, so look, this is one of those instances where I don't think too many people are going to disagree with them suspending him. Maybe 6 games might be a little bit harsh, depending on your perspective. But I think most people are going to say it's, you know, okay to suspend him.
And this is tough for the Dallas Cowboys. I mean, 6 games, you're into week 7 already. They're losing a key player at running back. And so they're going to have to make up for that loss.
Tanya, I think you bring up a great point. Go ahead.
Well, it absolutely is, and I anticipate a plan to appeal this any day. Don't we have, like, a time window here that we have to
appeal? They have 3 days. They're going to appeal it tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And so once they do that, then the problem is, at the end of the day, Roger Goodell, and there's another gentleman who's involved with him, they're the judge, jury, and executioner. And that goes back to the NFLPA, and that I blame on Damore Smith, the head of the NFLPA, who, frankly, I think is an idiot. How can you allow Roger Goodell, who is the commissioner of the league, to be the judge, jury, and executioner when it comes to players' discipline and suspension? You should have somebody else. You should have an unbiased third party involved there.
And my last note on this is Jerry Jones, owner of the Dallas Cowboys, or Robert Kraft, owner of the Patriots, them and our NFL commissioner, they're not on the same page.
No,
this is a problem.
You're absolutely right. And, you know, you bring up a good point with Robert Kraft because, obviously, he's the owner of the New England Patriots. He was involved with the Tom Brady suspension last year. You know, the difference in the Brady situation is it goes to an ethical issue more with the deflating of the footballs. But the problem is here, you've got an owner in Jerry Jones who most people don't realize is probably the most powerful owner in sports.
Yes.
He's been the owner of the Dallas Cowboys since 1988. Now it's 29 years he's going on. And he is as prominent of a figure, just got elected to the Hall of Fame a couple of weeks ago, or excuse me, about 10 days ago. And so he's against this, obviously. He's going to be wanting them to appeal it. And he's going to have something to say. And at the end of the day, Jerry Jones is technically one of Roger Goodell's 32 bosses.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's going to be interesting to see what happens.
No question.
So was he, was
oh, phenomenal.
go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, you know, look, the Red Sox blew it on Friday night. They gave up 5 runs in the 8th inning with Addison Reed giving up 8 runs. They came back on Saturday, doubled up the Yankees 10-5. But last night, that was the game. But you know what? Devers, the young kid, the 20-year-old from Boston, the lefty, Aroldis Chapman, first home run given up to a left-handed batter in 6 years.
Wow.
Unbelievable. That I did not know. That's amazing. Jeffrey, you know the funny thing is, though, because you mentioned it, the speed of Aroldis Chapman, the exit velocity on the ball, you just didn't need to really make contact. The ball is going to carry itself. And I didn't think that ball was going out of the yard, and it did. Yeah, really unbelievable.
Jeffrey, we miss you here. Oh, must be nice.
Well, there's some baseball today. If you guys want to talk about what's going on, I know yesterday our friend Chris Bryant hit a home run, so Chris is back in. I know you guys wanted to talk about Harper a little bit, didn't you?
Well, I was going to say, you know, one of the biggest things is he's lucky he didn't suffer a more severe injury, because if you look at the way he went down, it could have been catastrophic. And this is a guy in about a year and a half is going to hit free agency, and he's looking at a potential $400 million contract. Obviously, we're looking at the Yankees, the Dodgers, the Red Sox as potential suitors. So could have been a financial disaster for him as well.
A $400 million, oops, sorry, Jeffrey, a $400 million contract over how long of a time period?
Probably 10 years, because Yeah, because Harper's going to be about 25. He's 24 right now, so he'll be 25 or 26. I don't know when his birthday is. But at that point, he'd only be 36 at the expiration of the contract. This is like A-Rod circa 2002. When Alex signed Texas, in 2001, he was 26 years old, and he signed for $252 million. And at that time, he was the best player in the game. And I think you'll see a similar situation here with Bryce Harper.
Now, we didn't talk about anybody buying the Marlins.
Well, it's not official yet. There's speculation that Derek Jeter's group is going to be purchasing it for $1.2 billion, and he's going to be involved in it. Here's the funny thing.
With Michael Jordan.
Well, absolutely. But here's the thing that I find interesting. You know, they talked about Jeter running the day-to-day operations. I don't know if that's going to come to fruition simply because when you spend $1.2 billion and you're probably putting in about $600, $700 million, at the end of the day, you want to call the shots. And when you're someone who's accumulated that kind of wealth, you generally want to dictate things. So as much as Jeter may want to be involved, I'm kind of curious to see how much actual direct contact and control he has.
Control is the big word.
You're absolutely right, though.
I think he'll be quite involved and want all control of that, right?
You're 1,000% right. Very much so. I mean, look, to me, it's interesting that they're buying this franchise. This is a team that struggles immensely for attendance. It's not going to change because Derek Jeter's there. You might sell the first game of the year, and then when you're still losing, nobody's going to care. Why, were you punishing him? Yeah, and the sad part is it's a beautiful ballpark down there. It's built by the old Orange Bowl in Little Havana, and it's unfortunate they just don't get the attendance that they could draw in other markets. Well, hopefully it is, because right now they're the lowest attendance in Major League Baseball, along with Tampa. The two Florida teams do very poorly because I think you have so many New Yorkers and other market fans down there, and they just have a hard time.
Maybe if they have the game earlier, and they have like a twilight dinner.
Have you ever tried? Have you ever tried battling traffic on the 95?
Sure.
Forget about it.
And I always love how Jonathan always ties in somehow cocktails and dinner.
Yeah, there's got to be food and drink involved somehow. Anyway, you're listening to NBC Sports Radio, KBAD 920 AM. We're going to take our first commercial message. Jeffrey, if you can hang in with us, we're going to talk a little about football. Here we go.
Screen door slams, Mary's dress waves. Like a vision, she dances across the porch as the radio plays. Roy Orbison singing for the lonely. Hey, that's me, and I want you only. Don't turn me home again, I just can't face myself alone again. Don't run back inside, darling. What I'm here for. So you're scared and you're thinking that maybe we ain't that young anymore. Show a little faith, there's magic in the night. You ain't a beauty, but hey, you're all right. Oh, and that's all right.
Hey everybody, Jonathan Scott back with Vegas Nonstop. I can't just cut off the boss. I can't just jump in while he's leading up to the chorus, Bobby. Yes, I can.
Bobby, you didn't read my contract. I'm actually paid by the word. That's why he was trying to minimize the amount of airtime I'm getting.
I was about ready to put my cowboy boots on.
Why did you want to wear cowboy boots? Because all the horse?
It sounds Western to me.
What sounds Western?
You can tell I don't listen to a lot of Western music.
Western?
No,
that was
definitely not.
From New Jersey.
That was the legend of Jersey.
Rock slash country Western.
Where did you grow up?
Streets of Philadelphia.
I was raised in Northern California. I'm an 80s chick.
You're an 80s chick.
Yeah.
The boss is from the 80s.
Rick Springfield was on Fremont Street over the weekend.
I know. He's a good performer, but that song I wasn't familiar with.
That was Bruce Springsteen.
Right.
Rick Springfield was on Fremont Street over the weekend.
Was he really? Was he singing Jesse's Girl?
He was.
Yes.
Of course.
So here's a trivia question for Rick Springfield. Do you know what soap opera he started in?
Yes.
What?
General Hospital.
Nice. And what was his name?
Rick. Dr. Noah something.
Noah Drake.
Was I right?
Wow.
I got it right. For all those General Hospital fans
You know what the greatness of General Hospital is? Miss Vanessa Marcillo. Vanessa, I can't even remember her name now. She's gotten so old.
What are you talking about?
Vanessa Marcillo used to be on there.
I don't even know who she is.
Absolute smoke show.
She had the looks?
Yes. Good looking.
I still remember Luke and Laura.
Luke and Laura.
That was the
Who were the actors that played that?
Who played Luke and Laura?
Yeah.
Tanya?
I don't know. Luke and Laura.
Anyway, here with Tanya Brennan.
Hello.
Vanessa Marcillo. Not Marcillo. Vanessa Marcillo. Sorry.
Sports agent, advisor, and former NFL cheerleader, and Amal Shah, sports analyst, and Jeffrey with a G, line one, go ahead, from Fort Lauderdale, FLA. So...
Yeah.
Listen, Jeffrey, I'm telling you right now, without you, we're just spinning out of control here.
You
right
missed
now.
The yes. pub crawl too. We did a pub crawl over the weekend. It was a lot of fun. We went to a new bar called Corduroy. That's the one downtown. Shout out to Tater, our friend Tater over there. He made me the best mojito I've ever had in my life. Well, he was like down to the ice cubes. He's like powdered sugar on the little leaves, and it was great. And we went to Evil Pie across the street.
Sure.
And had a slice of rattlesnake pizza.
Rattlesnake pizza.
Yeah.
Can you elaborate on that a little?
Well, you know, when I was in New Orleans, they named me King Kunas because I'll eat anything that doesn't eat me first. And that's what a Kunas is down in Louisiana. I've had mud bugs and crawfish and anything. I've had snake before, rattlesnake.
Have you had alligator?
I have.
Buffalo?
I have.
Nice.
Yeah.
One time I was tricked into eating frog legs.
Yeah. Yeah, you have to spread them apart and put them over your ears.
Apparently, I didn't know. Apparently, I didn't know what anatomy was because
that's the proper way to eat frog legs.
When they were served on my plate, I was told they were chicken. And I didn't even question. So something.
Here's the question I have for all of you guys, since I'm a vegetarian. What difference does it make whether it's frog legs, chicken, what have you? The reality is, it's just a mental state of mind. If somebody served it to you and you ate it, and they didn't tell you what it was, and if you liked it, you would eat it, right? Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Thank you. That's all. Thank you.
If it tastes good, just like wine or tobacco or weed, if it tastes good, then it's good. If it tastes bad, then it's not. I mean, I don't need the notes, and I don't need the hint of vanilla or, you know, any of that stuff. If I like it, I like it.
So here's the thing, Amal. I'm also a vegetarian.
Are you okay?
I'm outnumbered today. Uh-oh.
Yep, you're outnumbered, honey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I believe so. That's what Tanya is saying.
We had pizza last week after the show over at Amore, Taste of Chicago. Oh, you didn't have any. You had
had the eggplant.
You had the eggplant.
Eggplant parmesan. Yeah, absolutely. Parm. By the way, that girl didn't even know what the pizza was. You kidding me? You guys ordered it. She brought the wrong order.
And
oh,
Jeffrey
my God.
Jeffrey with the G's always talking about grandma pizza, which I haven't, you know, I think that's an East Coast thing, grandma pizza. It's square and they have square cuts. Huh? It's made out of grandma's. Yeah. All right. Well, shout out to Chef Mike over from Fresco. Chef Mike helped us out with his chicken parm. And, man, I love that pasta that he brought us. He's over at Fresca at Westgate Hotel and Casino. We're also our friend Vinny Favorito is performing. If you love stand-up comedy, and you don't mind getting insulted, then Vinny Favorito is really one of the best shows here in Las Vegas. Great stand-up comic. What other shows? Well, we got some shows coming up over at your place, don't we, Miss Brennan?
Oh, yes. We got
this Wednesday, we've got the Composer Showcase.
Composer Showcase on Wednesday. We have Little Mermaid coming out in October.
How does that end?
Lon Bronson. How does that end?
I love Lon Bronson. Lon Bronson and his All-Stars.
Yes,
but
yes.
I might not be with the All-Stars, but...
We've got all kinds of good...
Is it Lon Bronson with the All-Stars?
You know, that's a good...
He's got the horn players. But this Wednesday, if you like original music, Keith Thompson does an amazing show of bringing original music to the Smith Center, to Myron's Cabaret Jazz. Mm-hmm. Is that the right name of it now?
Mm-hmm. I love the name.
Myron's Cabaret Jazz, named after Myron Martin, who used to play for the Texas Rangers.
Yes.
Oh. Played the organ for the Texas Rangers.
Myron, if you're listening.
If you're listening. And the show that everybody's going to want tickets to, Hamilton.
All right, May 2018.
But you've got, I love that Myron and Paul Beard are picking such eclectic music for the Cabaret Jazz Room, particularly, that it's just all over the place. And it's just really great talent, whether it's jazz or folk or blues. They really do a great job. So
we also have Kristen Chenoweth coming to the Smith
Center.
She's
a little package of energy, isn't she?
Package of energy, package of goods, New Year's Eve, right at the Smith
Center. Oh, she's at New Year's Eve?
Yes,
that's your New Year's Eve show? Was she there last New Year's Eve as well?
She was there a couple years ago and was a hit.
So I always say about the Smith Center that we finally have a cultural center here in Las Vegas that doesn't have stripper poles or slot machines, but we're working on it.
No. And that's not going to change at the
Myron, can we put in some slot machines and stripper poles at Cabaret Jazz? Maybe in that little dance room. What's that little room called?
Troche?
Yeah.
The Troche Theater, yes.
Yeah. Good luck selling that, right? Anyway, preseason. We've got the next games coming on Thursday, August 17th. And if we can elaborate a little bit, the first one at 4 o'clock, we've got two games. We've got the Baltimore Ravens against the Miami Fish People. And you're going to be there, Jeffrey, with a G, aren't you? Veal cutlet. Veal cutlet in a Dolphins uniform. What does that do for the Dolphins' chances of doing anything this year?
Yeah, exactly. They went from 7.5 on the win total to 7. That's what they think of Jay Cutler. Hey, I think he summarized it perfectly about your boy who played for the Bears.
Veal cutlet.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cutlet. I never liked him with the Bears. It didn't seem like the Bears wanted to play for him either. It seemed like the Bears like McGowan a lot more than they like playing for Veal cutlet. But the McCaskies are...
But that's the problem.
That's how I look.
It's not that there's a lack of talent. The problem is his disposition. It gives off a negative vibe. When you are the leader of a team, whether you want to be the leader or not, when you play certain positions in sports, point guard in basketball, when you are the quarterback in football, you are the unquestioned leader. And it's, not everybody's necessarily cut out to be a leader, but sometimes you're thrust into that position. And Jay Cutler's a guy whose personality, his basically... the way he carried himself, it wasn't the mark of a true leader or leadership. And I think that's one of the reasons why he was always viewed negatively.
I just like that you said thrust in that position.
Oh, Jonathan. Speaking of leaders, I agree with you. And I think that there is an elite group of quarterbacks that sets them apart from that level 4, level 5 leader that your team looks up to. And fellowship is created on that respect as well.
I think, Tanya, you make a great point. You look at Aaron Rodgers, you look at Tom Brady, Drew Brees, even Phillip Rivers, even though they haven't won. Peyton, yes, thank you. These are all great examples, but I think you make a great point. It's their leadership along with their play that gets guys to buy in. You look at Brady's attitude. Brady can go and yell at anybody because they know he's going to give 110%. When the best guy in your building is willing to give it their all, that always helps the team from a motivational standpoint and from an effort standpoint.
I do want to talk about a quarterback. I want to get your input on this.
Oh.
Andrew Luck.
Yes.
Let's talk about Andrew for a minute.
For the Colts.
He has one of the... Oh, my goodness. He has one of the most suffering O-lines right now in the league.
You're correct.
And when you look at a team, I don't care how good of a quarterback you are. Without an O-line, you're not going to make it.
You're absolutely right. Russell Wilson suffered from the same thing last year because Seattle's line play was bad. But if this were a college game, I would give you the chant regarding Andrew Luck. Overrated.
Yes.
Did you watch the
yes.
exhibition game last night?
I did not last night, no.
Are you talking about the Ram? I mean, the Chargers.
The LA Rams. LA Chargers.
The LA teams
I think we hit you with that question over the weekend. on the Rams being the most traded team to any city in the NFL. I think they were. I'm not sure on that.
So he started out as the Cleveland Rams, then went to Los Angeles.
Now, was that Jim Irsay that had him in Cleveland?
No. Jim Irsay was Art Baltimore Modell with the Colts. No, Art Modell bought the Browns in 1960 from Paul Brown. And so that was different. I'm not sure who the ownership group originated with the Cleveland Rams. Then they went to Los Angeles, then to St. Louis, back to Los Angeles. And that's where they reside now.
So I think they are the most traveled team as a franchise. I might be wrong. I don't know.
We'll have to look that up.
All right, yeah. So you want to talk more about QBs.
Let's talk about, the L.A. Chargers.
Yeah.
They looked so sloppy last night.
They did.
Four turnovers, and Seattle capitalized on three of those turnovers.
Yeah, absolutely. You know what, though? One of the things is, in the preseason, this is the time you want to work out those little kinks, because you don't want this once the regular season starts. And the good thing is, if you are, I was going to say San Diego, if you're the Chargers, you know, this happened in the preseason. This is, you know, a lot of these guys are not even going to be on the team. So that's one of the good things, because you have a lot of guys who are going to be basically auditioning for a job with Jonathan next week.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if you want to make a mistake, you want to do it now. You don't want to do it once the regular season starts.
Guys, we have September 3rd is the final cutoff for these rosters. We have 53 men. These guys are trying to make a job. There is no time for mistakes, and especially in this league.
Well, I think LA sports fans just in general, I mean, if you go to a Dodger game, I haven't been to a long time, but the fans would get there in the third inning and then leave in the seventh.
Sure. Right in the second, leave in the seventh.
Where
absolutely.
Are you sitting? Oh, I'm in the Spielberg section. I'm in the Warner Brothers section, and that's just LA.
Yeah, no, but just getting back to the point Tanya was making about guys with the opportunity, one of the things is when you make a mistake in the preseason, there's two problems. Number one, it's magnified because your mm-hmm. opportunities are few and far in between. And the second thing is the guys, you actually see it outwardly with their behavior. Like they drop a pass and they're actually visibly angry.
Well, if we don't take a commercial, I'm going to be visibly angry. So we're going to take another commercial break. Listen to Vegas Nonstop here on NBC Sports Radio, KBET 920 AM. Stay where you are. Bruce Springsteen. That's enough. I'm going to interrupt the boss this time.
I've got a great boss story. I went to go see Springsteen in Dallas, and he's playing this. It was an acoustic concert, and he was playing all this newer stuff. And some guy stands up and goes, "Play the old crap. That's what we came for."
Isn't that funny?
It was great. He started playing it, people, because nobody was into the music at all. Nobody knew what it was. He was basically trying to pimp his album.
Right. Wow.
While we're talking about pimping. I went and saw Frankie Marino over at the Golden Nugget. That's what I was doing down there.
What'd you think?
Frankie is so talented.
Sure.
So fabulous. I know you guys had him like once a month or whatever you were doing with him, or maybe you're getting him back. I hope you are.
We are.
He's awesome. Coming up. I just looked
what
on your guys' calendar.
A talented guy. I mean, plays every instrument. You know, and he's playing original music. So, I thought of it because what you're talking about, you know, play the hits, play the old crap. Nobody knew his songs. They were all original songs. And, you know, he did some Elvis and some other stuff towards the end. But by the end of the show, he had everybody on stage dancing with him. He drinks with everybody. And it's that kind of an intimate thing that you just feel really entertained and like you're really with somebody that you're familiar with. If you weren't by the beginning of the show, by the end of the show, you really feel like you know the guy, you know his family. It was just a great show.
It's a great experience, and he loves his Crown Royal.
He loves his Crown Royal, which I love.
So
anybody
I.
that's drinking brown whiskey, and he shares it with everybody in the audience. So anyway, there's five more shows over at the Golden Nugget before Frankie Marino goes on tour, and he's playing some small places you may never have heard of, Carnegie Hall mm-hmm. or the Kennedy Center. So, if you get a chance, five more shows for Frankie Marino. Our friend Clint Holmes also at the Golden Nugget Tuesdays and Wednesdays mm-hmm. through this month before he goes on tour and goes on the road. And, of course, you can see everybody at one time or another at the Smith Center for the Performing Arts. So that was part of the pub crawl, was I saw Frankie Marino first, and then I fought my way through traffic where everybody was seeing Rick Springfield. I was like, why is the street closed off? It was so crowded down on Fremont Street, but it's so much fun. Wound up at Backstage Bar and Grill with my friends Big Daddy Carlos and Ava, and just hanging out, having cocktails there. So there's so much to do at downtown Las Vegas, and it's so much fun. And the new places that are happening, Don't Tell Mamas, with our friend Kenny down there, doing Kenny Davidson's Bowtie Cabaret. It's just a lot of fun. And I know you're down there. You're part of it.
I am. I'm down there with the vibe. And I'll tell you, Vegas has everything. We have some of the best chefs, the best entertainers. Now we have sports, hockey, football.
I think we're going to get NBA, and I think we're going to get MLB. I think we're going to get baseball and basketball in the next few years. I really do.
I agree. Yeah.
I wouldn't be ready to put my money behind those two yet.
Well, you equate everything to gambling, and I love that about you.
What's that?
Yes, I agree.
I actually disagree simply because of how things played out during the All-Star game here in Las Vegas. I would love for you to get some of the people from the commissioner's office on the phone here in terms of asking them what they thought. I don't think the NBA is going to be coming here too quickly. You're correct on that, but I think the NBA's first order would be to put a team in Seattle, and I think that's what their first preference would be. Seattle is a top 10 market. It has the economic background with, you know, Microsoft, Boeing, some of these major players in town there. I think the money is there, and I think that would be a market that would get an NBA team much, much sooner than Las Vegas.
The Sea Schmucks looked pretty good last night. The Sea Schmucks.
Seahawks.
Seattle Sea Schmucks.
When do the Seahawks not look good, though?
I was going to. That's a good point. Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
My goodness.
So Thursday, back to this, we've got Buffalo Bills against the Eagles. Any commentary on Buffalo Bills or Eagles?
No, but you know what? Go ahead.
Sammy Watkins.
What about the Beagles?
You know, this is a team that should be very competitive. I think they should be 8-8 or potentially better if things break their way. Carson Wentz is entering his second year. He's a very good young quarterback, very cerebral. Should be a good season for them. I think this is a team that's going to be able to compete. And with the suspension of Ezekiel Elliott, I think Dallas could really take a step back this year because even though people sit there and say, oh, you can just plug in somebody else, no, it's not that simple. I know they have a great offensive line, but Elliott is a special talent, and it's going to hurt Dallas without him.
Definitely, and I agree. I think Carson Wentz not only just being a great addition to that team, but now he's going into his second year. He's more experienced. He understands the game, and he'll bring a lot to that team.
You're right, but the thing is, you have Alfred Morris there who had a successful couple years in Washington, exactly. But the thing is, Elliott's threat is this. Simply, when he turns the corner, he's got breakaway speed. He was a 100-meter state champion in the state of Missouri coming up. When he played at Ohio State, he never got caught from behind. This is a guy with game-changing speed.
Well, you know how painful that could be.
Yeah. Hey, listen, Bobby, can you check what day open mic night is over here? I think it's on Tuesdays, right? Okay, I just want to make sure. Yeah, South Point every Friday night at 12:30. If you want to come on down, you know they have it.
The Dirty at 12:30.
Yes, exactly.
With Gabe Lopez, the Dirty at 12:30.
Exactly.
How are we thinking Marcus Mariota is going to do this year? I like this kid a lot.
I think all three of us are in agreement. I like him a lot. I like his disposition. I like his intellect. And this is a guy who's a leader. He's a quiet leader, but he leads by example. You know, one of my favorite stories about him was his rookie year. He went to rookie camp. They asked him to make a change to something. He goes back home to Hawaii, comes back to regular training camp, and the coaches go, we've never seen a player who we told to work on something during the time away, and he came back and he already implemented it. I mean, this guy is just fantastic, and I hope he does extremely well. I'm with you, and they drafted a wide receiver, first overall wide receiver taken in the draft, fifth overall. Corey Davis out of Western Michigan should be a huge addition to that offense.
And lastly on Thursday, we've got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. What do they wear underneath their Buccaneer hats? They're Buccaneers. Against the Jacksonville Jaguars. So you got two teams in Florida. You're in Florida, and you're not going to the game.
Well, you know, hey, you know, good thing, Jonathan, I don't think anyone would ever accuse you of not recycling.
Exactly. I know, I'm going to keep going back and back and back. We'll go fishing instead. All right, Friday Vikings against the Seahawks on Friday night, August 18th. Any opinion on the Vikings or Seahawks this year?
I think Seahawks are going to have a great year. You know, this is a tough division with the Cardinals and the Seahawks and the Niners. I mean, we've got new ownership, new management. We'll see what happens there. Hopefully they can pull out a few more wins this year, the Niners, from 5 wins last year to maybe 8, I'm hoping.
You might be smoking some of that reefer they sell around here, because they're not going to 7 even.
They're not.
I don't either. I was being kind with the 7.
Let's
put it this way. The 49ers are now on the clock.
I heard Steve Young's going to be in town this week for a promotion.
Possibly.
Yeah, possibly.
Okay, so Saturday games. We got a bunch of games on Saturday. Panthers, Titans, Chiefs, Bengals, Colts, Cowboys, Jets, Lions, Packers, Skins, Patriots, Texans, Broncos, Niners, Rams, Raiders. But that's a lot to take in, huh?
The Jets are going to have the first pick in the draft. It's going to be interesting who they take. There's a young quarterback, Josh Allen, up at Wyoming. You have Josh Rosen down at UCLA. So it'll be really interesting to see what happens there. But real quick, the Carolina-Tennessee game. Tennessee's at home. They're a 3-point favorite in that one. But I think these are two teams that are going to be in the postseason. I think Carolina bounces back. They've done a great job in the draft. They took Christian McCaffrey, the running back out of Stanford, and Curtis. No. He's going to be a running back, but I think he's also going to be a bit of a slot receiver. But what I really think he's going to do is he's going to add a dimension, because Cam is one of the most difficult quarterbacks to sack. I think he's going to provide Cam the opportunity to dump the ball off in situations where the play breaks down. And with his open field running ability, I think he's going to have 2 to 3 touchdowns this year of at least 20 yards. This kid is special. And if you remember his dad, Ed McCaffrey, who played for the Denver Broncos, soccer player.
Yes.
Was it track or soccer at Stanford? Oh, okay, then, you know, hey, you might be right on that one. But the thing is, this kid's got great talent. I think you're going to see him excel in the open field. I think Carolina's going to be a force, and they're going to be back this year in the NFC. But I'm still with Tanya. I like Seattle as the team to beat in the NFC this year.
I agree. I think Christian's a great addition to this team. He's strong. He's big. He's fast. He's smart. And, you know, Cam needs to redeem himself after the last
season. You're absolutely right. Yeah, absolutely right. Jeffrey, I agree with you. The play in the Super Bowl that Jeffrey's referring to is when there was a fumble late in the game. Yeah, he didn't dive at it. He basically made a business decision. Absolutely. To me, as a leader on the team, Tom Brady would have been in there gouging eyes trying to get that ball. Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees. Mm-hmm. And the fact that Newton didn't do that, I think that's going to hurt him long-term within that locker room. I just don't think guys are going to respect you the same. No matter how talented you are, once that respect is gone, it changes the dynamic. Absolutely. No question.
I think that Cam lost a lot of followers.
I think you're absolutely right.
How he
right.
handled that Super Bowl, how he actually declined at being the leader that he should have been moving forward after that, and he lost, in my opinion, not in a classy way. It was disappointing.
I think you're 1,000% right. You're spot on.
We're going to take our last commercial break. You're listening to Vegas Nonstop here on NBC Sports Radio, KBAT 920. Stay right where you are. Nonstop on a Wake Up Monday show with everybody. Tanya Brennan, Amal Shah, and Jeffrey with the G Line 1 calling in all the way from St. Wherever he is. Fort Lauderdale. Somewhere.
Some beach.
Fort Lauderdale. So now we're going to move off preseason. We're going to talk about regular season a little bit and talk about some select games that Tanya and Amalfi are the games to watch. Tanya, let's start with you and your Giants and Cowboys pick.
I'll tell you what, that's going to be a great game between Eli and Dak. Dak, to me, is just a fascinating quarterback. I love to see what is he. Every game, he surprises me.
And I still say Eli's just not happy at home.
He just doesn't look happy.
He's not getting it.
But this is kind of fun because you have that new blood, and then you have that vet experience.
Amal's
and I think
happy.
This has always been a great rivalry. What do you think, Amal?
I agree with you. You know, you made a great point about Dak. I'm always kind of curious to see how he's going to do. I'm not as sold on Dak as everybody else. I think he's got great talent around him. You have Ezekiel Elliott. You have that offensive line. You've got Dez Bryant. You've got Williams, the tight end Jason Witten, who's eventually going to be in the Hall of Fame. So he's got a lot of talent around him. I want to see how he does in year two. Because keep in mind, Tony Romo is one of the highest rated quarterbacks in the history of the league from a quarterback rating standpoint when he played on those teams. So I'm curious to see how Dak performs. But this is a huge game. No Ezekiel Elliott potentially. I know he's going to appeal the suspension. We're not sure what's going to happen. But the Cowboys are a 4.5-point favorite at home on Sunday Night Football. This will be the game of the weekend, and it'll be a very important game because the Giants beat the Cowboys twice last year. They ended the Cowboys' long winning streak. I believe it was 12 games. They beat them in Dallas, and then they beat them again in New York on Sunday night. So another opportunity here for the Giants. Mm-hmm.
And the Giants, obviously.
No question.
The Giants definitely have their number.
I agree, and I think the Giants are going to win the division. The Cowboys are the favorite to win the division, but I think the Giants' defense is going to be elite. I think that defense is going to win it this year. The offense, I love what they've done. They've added Brandon Marshall, who was with the Jets. He's going to be the number two receiver with Odell Beckham over there. And then you've got Sterling Shepard, the number three receiver. They drafted a tight end out of Ole Miss by the name of Evan Engram. This kid's going to be a key addition. A lot of people may not be familiar with him because he played at Ole Miss. Very solid receiving tight end. Should help the Giants offense immensely. He should be back by the regular season. Yeah.
I still think the Cowboys have the best cheerleaders.
That is so mean.
I would actually say, listen. I would say, I want to go back to Dallas.
You're from Dallas? For the cheerleaders, right?
For the cheerleaders.
Have you ever dated a Dallas Cowboy cheerleader?
No comment.
They're great.
But anyways, I'm going to go with the Raiderettes.
Raiderettes?
That is so politically correct.
No, it's not. I'm not being politically correct. I'm just telling you. What's that?
I think Tanya should lead them.
I don't think they're quite as good.
Raiderettes.
In all fairness, I have a lot of respect for the Dallas Cowgirls. They started this. They started the league. They started the cheerleaders, the hot girls and the boots. Then other teams followed. And then the Niners gave them.
You.
They gave them me. But the Niners... Thank you. But the Niners have a great team, and the Raiderettes are great as well. You know,
yeah, but not only did you increase their sex appeal, but you also increased their IQ there. Some of the girls that I know were there, they did not have your intellect. I can guarantee you that.
Thank you.
Shout out to my friend Leah Goodwin, former Cowboy cheerleader. Okay, so the other game that you're looking at is Seahawks against the Packers in Green Bay at Lambeau.
What do you think, Jeffrey? And I'm a Rodgers fan. You know, he dumped that girl.
Olivia Wilde? You mean her
Olivia
beard or his
Wilde.
Beard?
He dumped her. He's
his
and
beard.
I think
Crazy
that day? I think Green Bay's happy about that.
Do you think Aaron Rodgers is
Olivia Munn. Sorry. Thank you for the correction. Thank you.
Big difference between the two of them, but they're both.
I'm not president of either one's fan club. We're not talking about Charlize Theron here or something.
Sure.
Or,
Charlize Theron.
But I am a fan club of, I'm part of that fan club with Aaron Rodgers. I think Aaron is talented, a vet. He's got a lot to bring to the table. He's consistent. His team, hopefully they're strong on the O side and the defensive side.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Wouldn't he be considered an elite quarterback?
Elite. It's either him or Brady are the two best quarterbacks in the league. Just pick whichever guy you want. But to me, Jeffrey, you made a good point. This is a very important game.
You're a Green Bay fan, aren't you?
I'm not a fan of any team except the Ohio State Buckeyes.
Well, they're not in the NFL.
That's okay. We'll be playing like we are this year. But no, I just wanted to finish up on the point that Jeffrey made. This is a really important game because both of these teams are going to probably be in the postseason. They're probably going to win their divisions. And it's going to matter who wins this game because if they wind up with the same record, exactly, home field, and you'd much rather have a team coming to Seattle in January with that crowd in the 12s, be very difficult to win if you're playing for a potential Super Bowl, as we remember a couple years ago when Green Bay squandered that lead late.
The frozen tundra of Lambeau Field.
Yes, sir. But hey, Russell Wilson, less dangerous played there.
I've got to get one more shout out to our friend the Shintas over at the Plaza. We're talking about downtown. I don't want to leave them out. Another great show. I want to thank Jeffrey with a G Line One. Go ahead, calling all the way from Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and of course Amal Shah. Thank you from spending your afternoon with us.
Thank you for having me.
Tanya Brennan, former NFL cheerleader for the 49ers.
Thank you. Best team in the league.
And agent advisor.
Thanks, Jonathan.
So thanks for listening. Like us and share us if you see us out there. Please say hello. Buy us a cocktail. Pass us a joint. Whatever you want to do. Anyway, eat well. Party hard. Have a great week. And that's it. Like us and share us. See you, everybody. Cheers.
At home, Daddy doesn't understand it. He always said she was good as gold. And he can see no reasons, 'cause there are no reasons. What reason do you need to be sure?